So I missed last week. On the one hand, I am always saddened by missing an opportunity for us to worship together. But on the other hand, I think God had us doing some really great stuff at Riverside. We were on a mission trip there, and did it come with some frustrations? Yes, it did. Most things are not smooth as much as we would like them to be. But we had an opportunity to do some good work that really blessed them. We also had an opportunity to cheer on some kids playing basketball. For the record, it wasn't the best basketball ever. But man, they were throwing it all out there. They were putting their hearts on the court. They were passionate. They were excited. Even while they were getting beat, they got beat, I think it was 48-14, I think is what it ended up being. Or 15. Let's not short them a point. But you know what? They never gave up. Even in the face of that adversity, they were just clearly just excited to be out there, excited to be playing together, excited to be cheered on by those around them, just excited to go out and play basketball. Something that resonates with me. I spent a lot of time playing basketball when I was younger, believe it or not. But I wonder sometimes if we lack that kind of unbridled excitement for following Jesus. As his people, as his followers, should we not be excited about an opportunity to be out there with him, serving him? Should we not be excited about an opportunity to worship the creator of the universe, that he would dare call us his children, that he would dare offer us salvation even though we are busted and broken and hurting, sometimes angry, sometimes confused, and that we are far from him sometimes in the decisions that we make. And yet, here he is saying, I'm going to save you anyways. I think part of our call is to be excited about who our Savior is to be out there in the world, out there with him as he's doing work, saying, yes, this is my Lord, this is my Savior, this is the person that I owe everything to, and this is the person I want you to meet as well. I think that kind of energy, that kind of excitement, you know, we're all drawn to people who are like that, right? Mm-hmm. If they're excited about something, it's really easy when a three-year-old runs up to you excited about something they made in class today, this sculpture, and you're looking at it going, it's the ugliest thing I've ever seen in my life. But they're excited, and guess what? You are excited too for them. I hope we are a people that can find that level of joy, that level of excitement, because the truth is, sometimes when we offer things to God, our sculptures are ugly, our work is not perfect, and God still says to you, well done, my child. This is a beautiful thing, and gets excited right alongside you. So we are in the middle of a series called Holy Roar. Seven words that change our worship, that change, honestly, the energy and sometimes the excitement that comes into our times of worship, whether that be personally or corporately. We looked at a definition for worship early on. It says, worship is our response, both personal and corporate, to God for who he is and what he has done. It is a response to the greatness of our God and the salvation he offers us and the world. Something that's worth being excited about, that's worth being passionate about, that's worth laying it all out for. In the first week, we looked at two words, Todah and Barach. We looked at David alongside his priests as they're bringing the ark back to Jerusalem, and on one hand, his priests are stopping every six steps to make a sacrifice in this very solemn, very serious, very reverent act. And meanwhile, David is dancing right next to them in his linen ephod, having a blast, celebrating what God is doing and that he's returning to the people of Jerusalem. So you see both this very serious, holy reverence right alongside this joyful celebration for who God is. And the truth is, God's worthy of both of those. Week two, last week, he talked about Zamar and Tehillah. He talked about a new song, a spontaneous song, an enthusiastic song. Through our praises of God, we lift him up in our own lives, and thus we draw others to him. This week, we're going to look at two words that I think are going to challenge our comfort zone, especially in a corporate worship setting. And maybe that's okay. Well, it is okay. It should challenge our comfort zone. The first one we're going to find in Psalm 67, verse 3. It says, "Let the people praise you, God. Let all the peoples praise you." That word, praise, is there is yada. Yada. It shows up 111 times in the Old Testament. 111 times. It's a verb. It means to throw or to cast from the hands. To throw or to cast from the hands. Jeremiah refers to it as, and uses that word to describe someone shooting an arrow or shooting an arrow. In Lamentations, it's used to describe throwing a stone. And yet here it's used as praise. Now, how does throwing something at somebody equal praise? Because I don't know about you, but when somebody chucks something at me, I'm not saying to myself, "Oh, they're praising me." Right? What does that mean? What does it mean to say I'm praising you by throwing something or casting something to you? Any guesses?
Casting down an item.
Forcing it out? You are very nice. You see people throwing flowers at people who are performing on stage, right? What about at a wedding? We're not allowed to throw rice anymore because it chokes birds, right? But, true story. But, as people are walking out after a wedding, right, it's ceremonially appropriate to be throwing things at them, right? You're not trying to hurt them. You're trying to celebrate with them and cast and celebrate alongside them, right? In this context, in this verse, it describes those moments where the Hebrew people were so overcome by the glory of the Lord that their hands shot upward in response. I try to think about moments where my hands shoot upward in response. And one of the moments I had the other day was watching C.J. Stroud win a game at the last minute. Right? 46 seconds left on the clock. He's taking the ball down the field. They score the touchdown. They win the game. And I'm like, yeah, baby! Right? Okay. Yay, sports. I know. The thing is, if that can get me to go, yeah, baby, shouldn't me praising God get me to go, yes, God, yes, this is who you are. You are my Lord, and you are my Savior, and you are worthy of my praise. Should it not be something I'm willing to say, yes, I've seen your victory. Yes, I've seen you do incredible things. Yes, you are present, you are holy, and you are worthy. It should call us, as we praise God, to be willing to let go. And I know for some of us, it's not a natural thing. But if you think about it, it is a thing when we're not thinking about what anybody else thinks around us. When we're embedded in the moment, when we're excited about what we're experiencing right now, it's almost kind of this primal instinct to, right? I have no hops. It's kind of this primal thing to say, yes, yes, this is amazing. When you read that word yada, that's what we should see. The people of God here, as he's reading this, he's saying, come prepared. Come with your hearts prepared to lift up the name of God, right? to sing along as we're singing hymns or singing praise songs, whatever that is, modern or old, they're all the same. They're all worship songs to the Lord, right? They're just stylistically different, and we get caught up in the style sometimes, but they are all songs that lift up the greatness of our God. We should be doing so with all of our voice, casting our voice up to Him. The scripture calls it a fragrant offering. There's this idea that even if it's not a physical hand raise, which is absolutely wonderful, it's also a raise of your voice. It's a raise of your eyes and your heart. It's a recognition of the awesomeness of God. We should come to our corporate worship settings prepared for that. We should come to our corporate worship settings expecting Him to do something worthy of that kind of awe. Because He can, and He often does, and we often miss it. What are some reasons to be in awe of God? It doesn't have to be just in this setting. What are some reasons to be in awe of God? Yes. His beautiful sunsets and sunrises. I get to experience that every day here.
Harvest.
The harvest, absolutely. His provision, right? His multiplication, His provision. Yes. What else?
Life.
Just being here, right?
Birth.
Just the notion that God would say, yes, I'm breathing life into this new little being that I'm implanting my spirit. What a wonderful thing. I think we take life for granted sometimes. I'm saying what?
Forgiveness,
that's right. Reasons to be in awe of God. Just the forgiveness that He offers is beyond anything we could possibly measure. Right? What else?
Blessings.
Bless what specifically, what blessing in your life? Just He's taking care of you, right? He watches over you in troubled times. Somebody said family. Say again.
Healing,
okay. Healing, when God does a miraculous thing that kind of throws doctors off, right? Which I love. I'm like, yeah. I have a few things written down. The complexity of our world. I'm in awe at the complexity of our world. Just how mind-boggling it is, because my little brain can't wrap its head around all the different species and creatures and things that God has done, has created. The notion that He picked a particular time and place for you to be here. He knew you in the womb before you were born. And He said, this is the time for Brittany to be here. This is the time for Shelley to be here. This is the time for Greg and for Ryan to be here. This is the time for Jared to be here. God has chosen to say, you need to be here right here and right now in this time, in this place, for this purpose. I'm in awe that He would do that and could do that. I'm in awe that He loves me anyways. Right? I'm in awe that He loves me anyways because I struggle to love people who aren't very nice or who mess up or who wrong me in some way, shape, or form. But God finds a way to love me anyways. I'm in awe because He listens when I call. To know that when we lift up our prayers, when we physically say, oh Lord, that He hears you. That He listens to what you're having to say. That's mind-boggling to me. Is He not worthy of every ounce of praise and yada, excitement of lifting up, of casting up our praises and our excitement to Him that we can possibly muster and probably even more, right? I'm in awe that His grace is sufficient. That it overcomes my sins, it overcomes death itself. His grace is enough. To yada is to literally throw our praises toward God to celebrate His awesomeness. The second word we're going to look at, we're going to find in Psalm 148, verses 1 through 5, and it's going to show up the same word 8 times here in these 5 verses. It says, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord from the heavens, praise Him from the heights, praise Him, all His angels, praise Him and all His heavenly armies. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created." That's a whole lot of praising going on. That's a whole lot of praising going on. And what exactly is praising God? Everything is praising God, right? All of creation, from top to bottom, the psalmist is calling to say, praise the Lord. Praise you wherever you might be in the heavens, or if you are the heavens, because He created those too, right? Praise Him, all the earth. How does the earth praise God? A few weeks ago, we had beautiful red and yellow and orange leaves on the trees. Come on, don't tell me it wasn't pretty. It was gorgeous, right? I really see that as the earth praising God, just exploding in colors, right? In the springtime, when things go from bare to green, and all of a sudden you walk out of your house one day and you go, the grass went from brown to green. How did this happen, right? And it's gorgeous. And the trees begin to flourish. And the birds sing. And there you go. Again, we're back to the beautiful sunsets and the sunrises. God, the whole, all of creation praises the greatness of God from top to bottom. The word there that shows up as praise all 8 times in those 5 verses is halal. Halal. It means to shine, to make a show, to be clamorously foolish, to boast, or to celebrate. When you read those words, which ones are you drawn to first? Shine, huh? Celebrate, shine. Clamorously foolish, probably for some of us, is kind of, no. But if you think about this, like, remember this 3-year-old who's coming up to you with this thing they made, right? They are clamorously foolish. They are excited. They don't care what anybody else thinks except you as their mom or their dad or their grandma and grandpa. It's just you and them. Think of us being that with God, right? As we come to Him in praise, there's nothing but Him and me. And I'm just saying, oh my gosh, God, you've got to see this. This is incredible. I know you saw it. You saw it the whole time. This is awesome. Look at what you did. And He goes, I know, I did that. But I'm going to tell Him anyways because He's worth it, right? Human beings are really good at identifying what we don't like or what went wrong. We are really bad at celebrating what is good. The truth is, we have more reason as followers of Jesus to celebrate than anyone does. Because He has given us salvation. So one of the things that you don't hear me do here a lot is sing, because I can't, okay? But I sing in my car all the time. All the time. If you're driving down the road next to me, you probably won't hear me over the stereo because it's probably really loud. But I sing in the car all the time. And the other day I was singing a song by Kool and the Gang, because I'm old. Any guesses what the song was? Celebration. Celebrate good times. Come on, right? And I'm singing and I'm jamming. I'm going, there's a party going on right here, right? And I'm just singing away, driving down the road. But then I look over and I'm sitting at a stoplight and I look over and there's somebody looking at me like, freak? Freak? And I kind of, what happens when somebody does that? You stop, right? Huh? You wave? I roll down the window and go, come on, celebrate. Because that's what we should be doing, right? Sometimes we are willing to express ourselves emotionally, whether it be, and I'm making this all sound like happy and praise and sad, and it is, but even our greatest challenges, our greatest fears, our pains and our hurts, all of our emotional extremes, you know, the ones we try to make sure that, yes, we have these moments with ourselves, but we don't want anybody else to know about. Sometimes we don't even tell God. We're not even willing to cry out to God because somehow we think we shouldn't show him those things. We should. Quite frankly, we should also praise him and celebrate with him. Celebrate what he's doing in and around us each and every day. Celebrate what he's done in all of our lives. We said earlier, what are some things that we should be in awe of him for? Why are we not celebrating those things with him every day? Every day. In our worship, whether it be personal or corporate, this word implies that if it does change when we are in a group, if I suddenly go from I'm going to celebrate God on my own, but when I'm in a group, I'm going to shut it down. If we're in a group, maybe our halal should actually grow rather than temper. Maybe our halal, our praise of him, our shining to him, our boasting in his greatness, our celebrating his power and his deliverance, and our willingness to be clamorously foolish in front of one another. As we're all praising God together, maybe shouldn't it grow in a place like this? Rather than dial back? God is calling us to be willing, if we cannot be open and honest with him and open and honest through and with each other, who in the world are we going to be open and honest with about our faith? Who are we going to celebrate with if we can't celebrate with each other? Who are we going to cry with if we can't cry with each other? Praising God means recognizing that like David, who is willing to just dance in front of him and everybody else, including his wife, says, you're crazy. He says, I don't care. The only person I am trying to please is God. If I can't get excited about you trying to please God in this setting, I'm pickled. Because our job is to help one another and help the world see the greatness of our God. And fun fact, if we are celebrating who he is, people will notice. Because they want that. They need that. We live in a dark world where people feel lost and hurt all the time. But if we're not celebrating salvation in Jesus, who in the world is going to say, I want that? I was reading a quote from Darren Whitehead, who wrote this book that we're studying out of called Holy Roar. He's a theologian. And the quote that he wrote is this. It says, sometimes I wonder if God looks down on North America and sees our dignified, carefully orchestrated worship experiences and wishes we would just cut loose. I wonder if he wishes we'd join the party. I wonder if he wishes we would step out into his great dance floor and risk being undignified. Risk being clamorously foolish for him. Now I realize that's a far cry, and I don't want anybody to hear me say, I think we should be Pentecostal tomorrow. There should be people rolling around on the floor. That's not what I'm saying. At all. I am saying that it might do us some good to be willing to celebrate excitedly, to lift up our hands, to sometimes just say, well, the pattern, we're not sticking to the pattern. It's okay. The Holy Spirit is doing something. Let's go with what he wants us to do. Because that's really hard. You know why that's really hard? Because it's not predictable anymore, and I'm not in charge, and I don't know what's coming. Ain't that annoying? But God works in unpredictable ways. The world doesn't need us to be stuck in a box. It doesn't need us to be unwilling to celebrate God. It doesn't need us to look and act and think like everybody else. It needs us to be his people. And at the core of being his people is praising him. It's celebrating him. It's living for him. It's raising up our hands and saying, praise you, God, for all that you are doing in our lives. Praise you for all the doors you are opening and the possibilities. I was talking to the teens a little bit this morning. We were talking about a public school versus a Christian school. And I've mentioned this before, but Riverside Public School is allowing God into their building. If that's not worth celebrating, I don't know what is. Right? Yes! We're allowed to do that, you know. Praise God for what he's doing in our world. Praise him with our voices. Praise him with our hands. Praise him with the decisions we make every day. He is worthy. Scream it from the top of your tiptoes. Because the Lord needs to hear, or the world needs to hear. Amen? All right, I'm going to pray, and as I pray, I believe our praise team's coming up, yeah? I'm going to sing some songs. We're going to stand, and we're going to sing. I hope we'll sing loud with everything we got. So loud we can't hear any of them. That'd be great. Yeah. All right, Father God, we are thankful for your greatness. We are thankful for your awesomeness. We are thankful for your strength and your power. We're thankful for your provision and your faithfulness. Let us be a people who will celebrate with you, who will lift up our voices, who will cast them up to you, because you are worthy. It's remarkable as we cast our praises up to you, how you reflect them back and change our hearts. You change our minds, you change the way we see to the world, and sometimes we're just reticent to do that, to celebrate, to be clamorously foolish. And yet when we are willing to let go of our guard and worship you and praise you, somehow it changes us. Lord God, I pray that in this time right here, right now, and in the days moving forward, that we will be more and more willing to shine for you here with each other and throughout the world. That we will be a people who will celebrate. That we will be a people who point to you and say, our God is worth being in awe of every moment of every day. It is in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen.